Praise the Lord! Amen. How about let's read the title for this fellowship. Practicing the twos or threes. Okay. This morning's line of fellowship, it says, beginning to practice twos or threes. Let's say it all together.
Beginning to practice twos.
You know, yesterday morning we saw that how vital it is to have a companion. And now we need to ask the question, how can I have a companion? You know, I believe each and every one of us desires to have a companion. And this question rises up again and again, how can I have a companion? First of all, I want to share my personal testimony. You know, this is a few years back. We were gathered about 20 saints, both sisters and brothers. And the format of the setting, it was a training. So for this, we had to, and of course, all the saints were, they came from different part of the state. So we all unfamiliar. So, and we began one by one to stand up, introduce themselves, and share their testimonies. So there were about maybe 10 brothers. So as they were sharing their testimonies, in my mind I thought, okay, maybe this brother, Lord, maybe I want to be companion with this brother. And towards the end, there's one brother stood up and he started to sharing his testimony. I said, oh, please no. Not this brother. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. A few days later, we got our assignments to be group. Take wild guess. I thought, wow. You know what? I did not complain. Because I had a preference. But I did not complain. You know what? I just smiled. I said, Lord, for sure, this is your choice. Amen. So God is the initiator, the grouping of twos and threes. For us to have this kind of grouping, what should we do? First thing we need to do to pray. Lord, I want to have a companion. Okay. So the companions we look for around us. The Lord already arranged many brothers and sisters around us. So, but we don't know how to identify it. For this, we need to pray to the Lord. And I can testify with this brother, we were built up together. All the prayers we had, it had eternal memorial. And I never forget that brother to this day. Why? Because the Lord put us together. He formed us as a group. Okay, so now I would like to call David and Michael. They have a testimony to share. Is this okay?
Okay, great. Hi, I'm David. This is Mike. We're from San Diego. I'm just going to share a testimony. So before I went to San Diego, a lot of the relationships I had with the brothers were merely just friendships. I remember always growing up, going to conferences, going to the college trainings, and they'd always speak about having companions. And, you know, like 2 Timothy 2:22, like pursue with those. But my experience was always just mostly friendships. So I remember there was a college training right before I came to San Diego, and my prayer was just that my relationships with the brothers wouldn't just be friendships, that I'd really have some brothers to pursue with. And there I met Mike.
So when David came to San Diego, I was a sophomore. He was a junior transfer. At the beginning, our relationship was kind of like a typical, you know, church friendship. I remember going to his play a lot to get some help on homework, because he's like one academic year older. But I think our relationship kind of took a turn while the summer training. I couldn't go because I was taking summer classes. But I recall very clearly that a lot of brothers who came back from the training, they were sharing all the riches, all the enjoyment from that training on the humanity of Jesus 2 years ago. I think that's when we had a turn in our relationship from, you know, being merely friends to having some spiritual pursuits.
Yeah, amen. I really remember, I think the second year we started praying a little more, mostly spontaneously. And then last summer I met a contact at our table, and I was meeting him for his orientation. And I just asked Mike to come along with me. And we just started praying for him, and we met with him, and it was really sweet. And we kept praying for him. And through that prayer, I just had the sense that, hey, we should maybe read with him. And we started reading with him over the summer and taking care of him. And also, I remember a lot of times over the past year where I just, like, go over to Mike's place, and maybe I wouldn't really be in my spirit, but just being around Mike would really lift my spirit up and really encourage me to keep pursuing. And I know there was one time we were going to, like, play Frisbee or something, and something was just really bothering me, and we just had some really sweet prayer for, like, probably 10 minutes or something. But none of this would have really been possible without us getting to know each other on a human level and becoming friends humanly first. That allowed us to just be comfortable with each other and be able to open up to each other.
Yeah. You know, after that prayer with the Lord, I feel like what kind of summarize or word I describe our companionship is very spontaneous. This whole thing kind of happened in a span of 3 years. We didn't have any, like, agenda or anything. But, you know, we just kind of hang out with each other, and the Lord gave us opportunities, right, to go on together, to grow together, to be built up together. Amen.
Thank you, brothers. Isn't that, what are testimonies? So what are we looking for? When we say we need to be grouped together, what are we looking for? You know, the Lord already arranged all the brothers and sisters. We need to recognize, you know, apparently we started off playing frisbees, studying together, and we hear these messages, this fellowship, we need to have a companion for us to go on. Lord, how about a companion? The Lord said, I placed a perfect brother next to you. Why don't you open to him? And then eventually they recognize, okay, so we do have some kind of friendship on a human level, which is very good. And then they recognize, okay, how about we go this relationship even further on a level of being companionized. That means to pray for one another. And this experience, it's a help to us. Even my experience and their experience, this experience helped me tremendously. You know why? Because if I can be built up with such a brother, I can go anywhere, any place. I can approach any brother to have a companion. You know why? Because God's desire to companionize us. And what is the goal? What is the goal for our companions? And of course, here on the Roman numeral 1, it says that we should realize that there are many different kinds of companionships, companions and groupings in the church life. And we should be open to the Lord for how we should be grouped. Okay, our grouping, our to be companionized, we're not limited only the students on the campus, right? So in the church life, we have older saints. Okay, my personal testimonies, I have between 4 and 5 older brothers that I fellowship with them regularly, at least once a month. And I have brothers who are about my age, and I have college students, and I have junior high, believe it or not. And yes, you can have. I mean, it doesn't mean the Bible doesn't say you can have only one companion. It's okay to have two, three companions. I'm companion with Enosh. At the same time, I'm companion with Daniel. It's okay. The more, the better. Okay, so what is the purpose of our being grouped together? Roman numeral 2, it says, show us that when we are being grouped together, we are being blended into one. So this blending, it blends us. When we have companions, we start off humanly, but it progresses, right? And then eventually, we get blended together. And then, what is the basis of the blending? It's through fellowship. Fellowship is the base of blending. Okay, how about I'll call Amy and John. Come
on. Amen. Hi, my name is Joanne.
Hi, I'm Amy.
And we just wanted to share with you guys our companionship this last year. We're both incoming sophomores at UCLA, and the Lord blessed us last year to be able to be roommates. And through being roommates, we were built up as friends, and then that friendship turned into a companionship.
Amen. We actually became companions because we started playing Ultimate every Friday night. Every time we came home, we would talk about our struggles playing Ultimate. But somehow, the Lord would direct our conversation about our struggles, like with our situations, to the Lord. And I just really enjoyed that we learned from our fellowshipping with one another that we had the similar spiritual struggles.
Amen. Yeah, so I enjoyed how spontaneous our companionship was also, and how, like, in the beginning we had similar interests, and that's how our friendship was formed. But we realized that, you know, all we were doing with one another was just ranting and complaining. So we realized that, you know, something's missing here, and what was missing was more growth in life, and what we needed was Christ. So then we started to pray instead of just complaining to one another. We started praying for our situations, and at first, I didn't really know how to pray or, like, how people could pray, like, for a whole hour at the prayer meetings. But, you know, I realized that through praying with Amy, there's so much on our hearts that we can just spill to the Lord. And anything that He touches, you can just pray to Him. You know, sometimes we have points to pray about when we have specific burdens. But also there are times that, you know, we don't really know how to say what's on our heart. And we just start praying and see where the Lord leads you,
Amen.
Where the Spirit takes you to go.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I really enjoy praying and fellowshipping. It was through these times that we're able to understand and know one another intimately and thoroughly. And even knowing the small problems among each other, we were able to open ourselves to the bigger problems, like our situation with the Lord and how our condition was faltering. But I just really enjoyed that after fellowshipping, like, about the smaller problems, we even learned that we had a desire for the Lord and for the saints, and also for ourselves to grow in the Lord more.
Mm-hmm.
And so through this fellowshipping of, like, what we wanted from the church life and with the Lord, we started to care and love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoyed that through this care and love, we were able to know that we had the same heart's desire and we had the same burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And by knowing each other's burdens, we were able to love one another more.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really appreciate that we were able to become one in this love because we were able to fellowship and pray with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoyed that increasing our love for one another to become one also increased our love for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It became so much that we also felt like we missed each other all the time, even though we lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like if we didn't pray or fellowship after Ultimate, I felt like a piece of me was missing. So I just really enjoy that once you're one with one another and you really understand and know each other's heart, you're able to love each other in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at first when I went to UCLA, into the sister's house, I kind of didn't think I would find a friend or anything. I wasn't really looking for a companion, and I thought I'd just go my own way and make my own friends. But I realize now that, you know, even when we don't know what we need, God knows.
Amen.
And He knew that I was spiritually weak and I needed a companion to pursue with.
Amen.
So, you know, I just enjoy that He will meet whatever need that we have, even if we don't know what we need ourselves.
Amen. And I enjoy, even though I prayed for a companion, that the Lord brought me someone who would understand me in a way that only loving one another through fellowship and prayer could happen. And I just really enjoyed that we came to be so one with each other and with the Lord that our hearts, or His heart's desire became our heart's desire. And mm-hmm. I even found that some of our prayers for ourselves, for our friends and family were even answered through this year.
Amen. So, amen. Yeah, I enjoyed that through our prayer, you know, my burden became Amy's burden, and Amy's burdens became my burden, and our burden was just reflecting the Lord's burden. And at first it started with just us praying about our own spiritual struggles, but eventually it led to us praying for our friends, our families, even our brothers and sisters, you know, whoever God placed on our heart.
Amen. And this was really the highlight of my freshman year, to be able to be companionized and to love someone in the Lord. And I just really enjoyed that it was through fellowship and prayer that we were able to give and receive the best love to one another.
Amen.
Because it's only through fellowship and prayer and love that you're able to solve your problems. Because oftentimes we think that we can do it, but we can't. We need the Lord and we need one another.
Amen.
So I just really enjoyed that our companionship caused us to pursue the Lord and lift one another in love.
Amen.
Wow, this is great. You know, I don't know if you notice, at the beginning, they start to, you know, they are grouped together, and they start telling their problems to one another. You know, I have problems, right? Yeah, I have enough problems. And Ken starts to tell me his problems. Is this nourishing enjoyment? No. That they recognize it. Okay, so it's enough of complaining and telling all our problems. And all they realize, okay, what we need is to pray. So the fellowship, the conversation in terms of fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is in the Spirit. Just want to read a small footnote. According to 1 John 1:7, we see that the fellowship is based for blending. This fellowship is in our spirit. When we are in our spirit, the fellowship of the divine life brings us the divine light. And the divine light keeps us in the fellowship. That is in the joint enjoyment of God. You know, when we fellowship, there is the enjoyment of God. Why? Because we are in our spirit when we fellowship with one another. And the joint participation in His purpose. Eventually, apparently they were praying for one another. And eventually, because they were in fellowship, in spirit, they realized, okay, we need to pray for others. We need to pray for our friends, for our relatives, whatever there was in their heart. Praise the Lord. You might say, well, this is not too big. Okay, I have a verse. One brother told me this morning. Zechariah 4:10. Here it says, I'm paraphrasing, we should not despise the day of small things. We have to start from somewhere. At least, first we need to be grouped. Lord, group me. Okay, how about under Roman number 1a, there's a prayer. How about let's all pray together? How about brothers together, okay? Where it says, Lord, give me someone. Do you see it? Roman number 1a. Lord, give me someone as a companion. Or send
someone to me. Bring me in the contact with one.
Okay, how about sisters pray this prayer? How about all together? Okay, you know, when we pray such a prayer, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord takes it seriously. You know, when we pray this prayer, the Lord is faithful to answer such a prayer. But most of the time, we don't recognize it. So that's why we need to fellowship. Lord, I need a companion for me to go on. Not only for me to go on, for your own purpose, for your heart's desire. lead me or lead someone to me to have a companion. And just I'll finish up with one point here. When we have a companion, you know, I really appreciate the sisters. They open up with one another. But I would like to bring one point. We have to be very careful how much we open ourselves to one another. Here it says on the Roman numeral 1D, it says we should realize that there are, Roman numeral 2A3. So, see? Okay, 2, yeah, A2. Public confession of sin has caused serious trouble. I have experience of this. We have to be very careful. We need to exercise how much we open. There are things we have to be. So, just very brief. One brother, he and I were very close. We prayed together. We fellowshiped together. Somebody else, he heard something about me, my past. And that caused our relationship stopped. We still see each other. We still pray. But it broke our fellowship. So I realized that we have to be very exercised how much we open to one another. Praise the Lord.
How about we read that prayer, 1A, one more time. In the additional excerpts, there's a line. You don't need to turn there. It says, "You must consider before the Lord whether or not you have a real companion in pursuing the Lord." And I feel like I just amen all the saints that have been testifying, speaking in this line, bringing us into this kind of question. It's a question. I'll let you contemplate just a moment. Before the Lord, do I have a real companion in pursuing the Lord? You know, it's a biblical principle. Amen? Amen. Brothers helped us yesterday to see Old Testament, New Testament, twos and threes. But for me personally, for you personally, I believe there's this desire. This is for me too. This is what I'm looking for. I want this. Some of you could have answered, yes, I have such a companion in the Lord. Some have to answer, no, I do not have such a companion. But I just appreciate that we are not left in kind of a silent contemplation, potentially a little disheartened. I'm alone. I don't have one. But we can pray this prayer, a very sweet prayer. Lord, please give me a companion. I just have a little testimony, not about myself, but a brother I know and love. When he was a high school senior, he had a turn and he turned to the Lord. He began attending a lot of the meetings of the church, the Lord's table, the prayer meeting, the young people's meeting, young people fellowship meeting. But even with all of that kind of turn and in a good church life, he realized I'm still lacking something. And for whatever reason, he had this prayer rise up within him. Lord, give me a companion. Guess how long he prayed that prayer? 9 months. Must have been the Lord's mercy to pray that same prayer 9 months. And he came to a college training. And in the group times, I'm oikonomia group, got tested together. I think we did okay. We have our times of open fellowship. And he just felt, I need to share with the brothers what I've been praying for 9 months. I've been praying, brothers, for a companion. And he kind of left it at that and went on with the training. And at a previous location, we used to have a bonfire one of the nights. I don't think we're going to have one here. But this was a couple days later. They were walking back from the bonfire, and a brother was next to him. And that brother turned to him and said, "Bro, I'm going to be your companion this year." Word for word. "Bro, I'm going to be your companion this year," as they walked back. And you know what? Later that night, the first brother actually went out by himself and wept. Not a brother that I really know to weep either. But the Lord had answered his prayer in an amazing kind of a way. You know, really what matters is the heart. If your heart is there, if your spirit prays such a prayer, the Lord will bless. One other group of brothers that came together that I know and love, they went to a college conference together and were revived about the same time. And then in the parking lot, after the conference was over, they were about to part ways. And one of them turned to the other and said, asked, "Would you like to pursue the Lord with me this year?" And the first brother testified to me. He was so thankful that that other brother cooperated with the Lord, took some initiative. He said he broke through the pleasantries of saying, "Hey, wasn't that a great conference? Catch you later." But he broke through that, cooperated with the Lord, and just took that initiative. "You want to pursue the Lord together with me this year?" Anyway, what I'm describing is a beginning. It starts with the beginning prayer, but the Lord operates in a mingled way in the principle of incarnation. I believe many of you have already been praying this prayer. And I would say some of you need to take that step and initiate something, one with the Lord. Just ask another brother, another sister, "Do you want to pursue the Lord with me this year?" Sometimes I've met young ones that for too long just stay in the maybe the praying stage, the waiting stage. Saints, I hope even after this week, perhaps in those very groups that we've been assigned, we take that sovereign from the Lord. You may already have some feeling, "I need to ask that brother, I need to ask that sister to be my companion." Amen? So as Brother Robert moved into Roman numeral 2 there, so there's a beginning. There needs to be some kind of cultivation. What do you do in the so-called twos and threes? What do companions do? You know, I think yesterday there was a strong emphasis on how two are strengthening to one another. You know, when one falls, the other can pick him up. When one is cold, the other can warm him up. When one is dying, the other can give life, you know. Thanks, Ken. Ecclesiastes 4. But I'd like to bring us to another emphasis. We're not just talking about one coming together with another and forming two. Strength in numbers, forming three, even more strength in numbers. We're talking about, in the very same principle as the triune God, like Enoch shared about, we're talking about two or three, even becoming one. Actually, the purpose of companionships is not merely for a strengthening, not merely for a picking up, not merely for an encouragement. The purpose is for blending. Amen. Let me try that again. Blending.
Amen.
For two or three to become one. And the emphasis here is important. Because a lot of the product of companionships, the impact of companionships, is their expression that they bear. It's the impact that they have on others. Getting into point B maybe. Let's read 2B all together.
Prayer brings us into one accord.
Let's just read 1 and 2 as well, all together. Amen. How about amens after a couple of my phrases? The gospel preaching on the campuses will be like wildfire.
Amen.
Be prevailing.
Amen.
Convince people.
Amen.
Put Satan to shame.
Amen.
I love one accord. I love this phrase. You know, we have been touching Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. But a verse prior to that brings out when two are in harmony. Harmony. Say that word with me.
Harmony.
One more time.
Harmony.
I love that word. It is symphoneo in Greek. What does that remind you of?
Symphony.
A harmony. Okay? I don't have a good voice. I just wanted to try this. I'm not going to sing. Okay, let's see, how can we do this? Okay, Lord, repeat after me. Lord, hold it. Lord. Okay, that'll be the sign to stop, okay? Lord, okay. G. Someone with better pitch, remember those notes that we hit. Okay, I might mess up. Joseph, you mind coming up here? Joseph is a dear brother growing in the Lord. He's just used right now as an example. I don't know if he's built up with another brother. But let's just consider Joseph as a wonderful but individual brother. Okay, Joseph's section, let's hit that first note. Lord, when Joseph, in all his wonderfulness, you know, a heart for the Lord, walks around on campus, at most I would say we have a Lord. Okay. Brother Ken, I think you all know where this is going. Okay, Joseph by himself. Lord. Hold that. Lord. Brother Ken. Okay. Let's finish it off. Brother Vin enters into a companionized relationship. Lord. It's a wonderful example. By ourselves at best, we're a single note. But there is an impact. The one accord brings impact.
Amen.
The one accord brings impact.
Amen.
I'm telling you this. One accord brings impact.
Amen.
You have a hard time today finding brothers and sisters in one accord. You have a hard time finding two human beings that can be in one accord. Whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's just friendships, you have a hard time. And verse 19 says, two are in harmony on earth. There has to be on earth. Not only in a local church, in the body of Christ and as a whole, but practically there needs to be companions in the Lord that bear a testimony of one accord. It's a beautiful thing. Even anyway, I could just testify on behalf of both of those brother pairs that I described earlier, with that wonderful initiation, one praying, one taking that lead just to say, let's start this, just a beginning, I can testify now, maybe 6 years later, through their experience in college, in the training, some serving, some in school, they've borne a testimony of one accord, and they haven't remained as two. And we'll get into this later in this line. The two, the three, with that kind of a testimony, so attractive, they bring others into that. It's so beautiful a thing, it's so unique a thing on earth, that when you meet it, you want it. So these brothers, just practicing, beginning to practice. You need to begin, then you just need to practice. But it bore a testimony that brought others into that. Anyway, I just want to highlight a little bit here too, related to prayer and fellowship that Brother Robert began speaking about and the sisters testified about. Fellowship is in spirit, and prayer is in spirit. And just to continue, something that might be occurring, and maybe some of the companion relationships that exist right now, because I've had this experience, is that one thing is you just don't pray, like the sisters spoke about. Often it starts out, you kind of unload on one another, which becomes just double the weight. Just an unloading, just the complaining. Well, you need to turn that to prayer. You need to turn that to prayer. And, I want to read a little something here. I drove across town to meet up with him every Wednesday. He would ask me how I was doing. And I felt that I could share with him things like, man, I haven't been reading my Bible in a while. Or my sleep has been so sporadic, I've been staying up too late. No judgment, just knowing where the other is at. It's so good to be known by another brother who doesn't judge you, but will pray with you and for you. I think he was the first one to make a list for his friends that we began to pray for. Then I started. I felt like then I could bring some names of ones I knew from work and from my family. This opened the way for us to invite them. I would leave the times with this brother on Wednesday, having felt better, I was refreshed, life seemed more wonderful and hopeful. I think I realized there is no other way to live the Christian life. When we first shared about it to one another, this is how we related the feeling, like we had gone through a heavenly car wash and we came out refreshed. What does this is the prayer, being blent into one through prayer. Amen? Amen. Touching the Spirit together is really supplying and refreshing. Amen?
Amen?
With your prayer, you just go through a heavenly car wash. You open properly, no judgment, praying for one another. Bringing in some names of friends. Maybe that list is too long. You got to slow down. You don't want to bury each other under your long list of friends. Just a list. There needs to be, some proper feeling for one another. If there's no feeling, if there's no heart in it, stop doing what you're doing. This is what I learned. Oh, we just went back and forth with our long lists, but there was no feeling. Suggestion, cut down your list a little. Start picking up more of a feeling in the prayer. The prayer has to lead you to the Spirit. Otherwise, there won't be the blending. The fellowship and the prayer is in spirit. Anyway, let's read Roman numeral 3 together. And 8 says, we should consider how to pursue together practically based on our burdens, capacities, schedules, and growth in life. It's, again, I think our burden is just to start somewhere, just to have some fellowship. Where can we begin? How can we begin? Amen. B, as a group, or with one other companion, we may decide on a regular time for prayer, find a regular time to have a morning revival together, set a goal to read the Bible or a ministry book together. Anyway, I want to call up Avi, and her companion Abigail cannot be here today, but have her share a little something, especially related to point three.
Hi, so my name is Avi, and my companion Abigail couldn't make it to the college training, but she stands with me. So fall semester 2015, we started reading the Bible together. The college campus club was participating in the Bible challenge, and so she and I just decided to start a small group. She and I actually didn't really know each other, but now that I look back, I can't think of a better way to get to know her other than through the Bible reading and the fellowship. I really appreciate being with her and having these practical times together and hearing her overflow. Just the simple fact of her sharing with me encouraged me just to get through the day. Amen.
Whoa. It's an idle phone. So if you picked up in her sweet, simple testimony, they brought in an element, or they had an element, even from the very beginning, based upon the Bible. And I felt, even in reading this, that I have some relationships of companionship relationships, I might call a prayer partner, that have become a little bit dry. And again, I was kind of going back to what I was mentioning. Sometimes there's the back and forth, either of burdens or of list of friends' names. And it begins to be a little bit dry, a little bit of a weight. And I feel that some of our relationships can be upgraded in a simple way by reading the Bible together. Amen?
Amen.
Not only so, but as Avi shared, when you do that together, naturally you like to speak something, right? A group of brothers I know, too, said that their practice as companions, that this was one of the things they talked about, they fellowshipped about. Maybe you could call it a little extreme. But they just decided that whenever they saw one another, you know, they didn't live together, but whenever they saw one another, their practice would be to just speak a little of something that they had been reading that day. And this, for them, formed something solid in the relationship. I just believe that this could be a help to some of those twos and threes that have been formed already, beginning to be practiced, to bring in something of the sharing of the Word with one another. I'm not talking every so often, I'm talking regularly. I'm talking overflowing regularly, as a life factor, as a blending factor. Consider this a suggestion. Bring in something regularly of an overflow to one another. And let's read 4 and 5, and then maybe as we're doing that, I could ask Sam and Jeffrey to come up.
Amen. So, my name is Sam. I'm Jeffrey. So, our companionship was a little atypical. We kind of went like backwards from this outline, in that we started by taking care of others. So, through the need to care for others, that we actually came through a lot of, just naturally, a lot of the things of having fellowship with one another, singing with one another, enjoying the Lord with one another, and just kind of growing together.
Yeah, amen. So Sam just finished his senior year, and I just finished my freshman year. Our first experience together, taking care of a new one, was actually very, very unexpected. I met a freshman in my summer orientation last summer, and then I got connected with him throughout summer with another full-timer. So when the school year started, we just had this desire to visit him in his dorm. But on the day we were going to visit him, the full-timer couldn't make it. So he sent me a short text saying, maybe grab Sam. So I asked Sam, and then Sam was open to visit a freshman with me. So in our first meeting together, we went to this freshman's dorm. We kind of talked a little bit about school, a little bit about the Lord, a little bit about our Christian Students Club, and then he was really open. But what I really appreciated from this time was that every time we walked to his dorm together, we would be praying on the way, even singing on the way. Just this enjoyment of the Lord helped us be able to flow out to this new one, and we were definitely built more together in prayer.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, so then throughout the rest of the year, it kind of just happened that we were in the same home meeting together, and we were actually in the same like core group of our home meeting together. So we spent a lot of time together. It was such sweet times though. Like honestly, one of the best times was we would just walk to the grocery store after school, and we would just be singing along the way, just like down Westwood Boulevard. You know, like just don't be afraid to sing with one another. It's great. We would change up the words, or you know, just kind of like just enjoying the Lord together. You know, we'd sing in the grocery store too, because like whatever, you know, you enjoy the Lord while you're choosing carrots, whatever. And then we'd come back together, and we would cook together, and we'd go to home meeting together, and just all these things we could be singing on the way, we could be praying together, and just through that process, then throughout the whole year. Anytime if we were, because we lived together as well. So anytime we were just both at home, it was so easy for us just to say, hey, let's sing together a little bit, or let's read the Bible, or I'm doing my homework, but you can come in my room and read the Bible while I do my homework. You know, like there, it just became very, very open. And yeah, again, like me and Jeffrey don't have that much in common naturally, but That's not what makes companions, you know. All you really need is the real fellowship between one another.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so throughout the year, with us spending time together, it was definitely more normal for us to get together, to pray, to fellowship, to sing, to even enjoy the Lord. I would go to his room a lot to just pray with him, fellowship with him. I think even his roommate pointed out to me that I've been spending more time in his room than I am in my room, besides sleeping, you know. Yeah. But definitely through our praying and fellowship, we were built together. And then through this building together, we were able to bring others into the building. Yeah, Sam mentioned that we ourselves are quite different, but through this relationship, we were able to be balanced by one another and even completed in our caring for the new one. So just wanted to share this experience of preaching the gospel in the body and shepherding new ones in the body.
Amen.
Yeah. With companions, we get strengthened to go on in the Lord together, and we get encouraged to bear remaining fruit.
Amen.
Amen. These brothers are so sweet. Is Gustavo here today? I'm not sure if he's here right now. Gustavo, stand up, please. Okay. So now it's not one, not just two, but we have Brother Gustavo added to these brothers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks, Gustavo. Anyway, just our simple burden, I think it's coming through, is that we all just need a beginning.
Amen.
If you haven't begun, you pray to the Lord in a sweet way, a respectful way. Please, Lord, I want a companion.
Amen.
Then he might lead you to initiate something. I'm going to ask that sister, can you be my companion? And then what might be a friendship, what might be opposites, doesn't matter. The factor is the life element of Christ that joins us when we fellowship in spirit and when we pray in spirit. Can't emphasize that enough. There has to be fellowship in spirit, prayer in spirit. Amen. And then we just maintain that relationship. Don't let it go dry. Don't let these relationships go dry. These could be lifelong, vital, fruit-bearing relationships. If it's gone dry, consider Roman numeral 3, even how to cultivate, how to bring in the truth, how to bring in the speaking of the truth, and the outflow to friends. Can you consider this? Amen.